Are you listening? And tell me, oh glory, when Peter walked in, because he's got in need, oh glory, and Peter said, stand up. I'm a man like you are. Hallelujah to God. He told Peter, the angel of the Lord stood in my room and told me to send for you. And here we are to hear your word. Woo! Here we are to hear your word. And Peter began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost fell on every one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have been enjoying the Word of Truth broadcast ministry of God's Holy Temple, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with Bishop Willie Perry. You can contact Bishop Willie Perry by writing Word of Truth, P.O. Box 8592, Dallas, Texas, 75339. Services at God's Holy Temple are held Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m., Saturdays at 10:30 a.m., and Sundays at 10 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. Phone by dialing area code 214-371-7010 or 972-217-1255.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
This is Brother Gaspy again. Today I'm going to try to give some more on, talk some more about the deceitfulness of riches. Asaph here in Psalm chapter 73 tells you about the deceitful of riches. If you have a Bible, it's quite a bit of reading here in Psalm 73, but it'll give you a little idea of what I'm talking about, the deceitful of riches. I haven't experienced what people call being rich, but I have experienced a taste of it. And I know it's, like I said before, it has wings. The Bible tells you it has wings, it flies away, and it don't last. But anyway, that is one of the things that Satan uses to deceive people. Having a lot of stuff and luxury toys and things to distract you from the Word of God. Because if you have a lot of things, you get these things, and you want to enjoy them, and you don't pay any attention to the Word of God. You don't have time for the Word of God because you're too busy enjoying the things you have. And I suppose this is why the Bible says to be satisfied, be content with what you have, be content with food and clothes and a roof over your head, and God, well, God wants you to have things, but He don't want you to admire things. Get so hung up on things that you forget Him. Don't forget God, even though you have things. Be grateful for what you have. I have good health, like, and that's about all I do have is good health and a few nice clothes to wear. And people hate you even for that, you know. But I learned not to let what people think about me bother me so much, even though it still bothers me. Believe me, I would love to have, you know, a lot of friends and people around, talking to people, being concerned about me, but since they don't, so be it, because I have to live this life myself. I wasn't born a twin, and I don't have to have a lot of people around me, because usually when people around you, and they usually come because you got something they want, and they'll be nice as long as you be nice to them, as long as you do what they want you to do, they're friends. But when they spend in the end, they're gone. Anyway, like I said, this is one of Satan's deceptions. And even in the church, the prosperity preachers, like I said, this one preacher I know here, and I won't name him, but one preacher here in Louisiana, very prominent preacher, got a lot of money, a lot of stuff. Talk about his big house and all the cars and things, look at the cars and airplanes he has and this. But, you know, and he say he don't want to talk to people. If you don't have no money, he don't want to talk to you. People come at collection time throwing money, $100 bills and checks and things. And he look at $100 bill like it's nothing. But they run up and throw money on the altar and just loads and loads of money. But these things are not going to last. It's deceptive. And if you get so hung up on things and money, like Jesus says in that sermon that that man sent to me that Christmas, he had four tapes in that album. It was about the sower soweth the word and how Satan comes to take it out with his deceptions. I kind of feel sorry for people that's been in the church all their lives because of the fact that they don't know about some of the things that they think is fun out there. They haven't experienced it, but I've been out there and experienced some things. And I've seen some things. I'm like the prodigal son. I wasted my young life. But it was beneficial to me because now I can look back and see where it wasn't me because I was so smart that God was taking care of me all the time. I didn't have sense enough to even acknowledge him as being the one that I thought I was half smart myself. But I found out it wasn't me at all. It was God taking care of me, even when I didn't have sense enough to acknowledge him. I got into church because I prayed a prayer once when I was about 8 years, 8 or 9 years old. I said, Lord, since I'm just a boy, let me have some fun. When I get old, I'll get religion and go to heaven. I didn't know that was a prayer, but I found out from that prayer, and God reminds me of that. I might have told you this before, but I asked God to let me have some fun while I was young. When I got old, I'd get religion and go to heaven. I didn't know how stupid that was of me to ask God this, but then I know from that God answers prayer because of the fact that he did let me enjoy some things and see some things. And I understand now that these things don't last, not even people. People will lie to you. You know, when you in the limelight, as they say, and I'm never in a real limelight, but I was compared to most young black men with very limited education. I only finished sixth grade of school and was a country boy, didn't know nothing about nothing, and then went to big cities and survived those cities, you know? And to me, that was nothing but the grace of God. I thought I was pretty slick with them crap games and shooting pool, pretty good game of pool, and I thought I was pretty sharp, but I find out I wasn't so sharp because I saw guys that were sharper than me got caught doing what they was doing, and some of them got hurt bad and some got killed. But still, it was God's hand that protected me then, and now it's on me to keep my end of the bargain that I made with God. I mean, it was a bargain that I looked the way I looked at it then, because of the fact that I didn't have nothing to offer God but me, and this is all I have, or just about all I have now. Even now, Satan is trying to tempt me with things that I used to have that I know that I like, and things come along, but I'm not going to go for that. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing, even though it may sound kind of stupid to to a lot of people out there, but to me, I'm doing what God has told me to do. And I feel good about myself, in spite of the fact that I don't have a lot of things like I used to, like I've gotten used to having. And I'm not making the money like I used to. Matter of fact, I put my tools down, and I haven't really worked since I've been here in Louisiana. And God, I believe God told me to do that. And because I've done that, I sacrificed having a lot of stuff that I could have. But I spend my time in the Word of God, and this is what He told me to do. And I'm doing that. And I know this makes Satan angry. For me, one of his officers, like I was you know, whatever felt good or looked good, I did it. Most things, but a lot of things, like I still would not do because of the training I'd had coming from my old great-grandparents when I was a child. I grew up in a church home, but they had so many rules and regulations. And that's another thing that's deceptive of Satan. Satan will have you worrying about what people are doing, like smoking cigarettes and drinking and things like that. And all of this is something that you cannot change. You can't stop a grown man or woman from smoking cigarettes or drinking a beer every once in a while. And God don't condemn a person for taking a drink or smoking a cigarette either. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. I haven't found it. I found one place in Deuteronomy 14 where God says that after you've fulfilled your commitment to the church, you can take your money and do whatever you lust after. You know, I think I'll find that and read it to you, because, you know, most people wouldn't believe this, but it's in there. Like that Prego spaghetti sauce, it's in there. And I read it to you. And if God says it's all right, I don't see why we should have a problem with it. Verse 26. It said, "Thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat therefore before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household." That's in Deuteronomy 14:26. But now, if God says it's all right, as a matter of fact, all through the Bible, one of the blessings of God is wine, grapes. He's always telling people to enjoy your wine, and let wine all through the Bible. That was one of the blessings. Your wine would increase, your oil and your wine would increase. Matter of fact, Jesus turned water to wine at the wedding. So it's not wrong to drink wine. God doesn't condemn a person for drinking, but overindulgence in anything is sinful. That is where the sin comes in, when you overdo anything. You drink too much water. Matter of fact, you can eat too much. And you got a lot of fat folks in the church that you know, can't dig in the grave with a fork, but they are condemning people for smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer. But we are not qualified to condemn anybody, because God judges our hearts, not the things we do, little things that we do, that if I happen to do something that you don't do, you don't understand, you really never enjoyed it, never been there, you can't tell me what effect it has on me. If I don't get in your business, you ought to stay out of mine. Like that song, that don't sweep around your own front door before you start sweeping around mine. You see, but we, as the church, would spend a lot of time. I've heard preachers preach whole sermons on people drinking of smoking a cigarette. In the meantime, and they'll talk about adultery and this and blah blah blah. I never did this, never did that. But Jesus said, if you if you had